Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business-building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick-and-mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the call. This week, I have the great opportunity to welcome to the show Debbie Lachusa. She is known as a business stylist. She is a business stylist because she helps others design a tailor-made business that reflects their personal style, so, so important, and brings them more fun, more fulfillment, and, of course, financial abundance. She's an international speaker who has shared the stage with celebrity teachers from The Secret and has inspired audiences in the United States, Canada, and Australia with her message of personal and business empowerment. Debbie began her entrepreneurial journey 21 years ago, well before telecommuting, and working from home were kind of the common thing, and years before we all had cell phones and personal computers. Since then, she has owned and operated 8 different businesses. I'm going to ask about that as we get into the call. She chronicles much of that journey in her highly acclaimed book, The Career at Home Mom, Secrets for Earning a Six-Figure Income While Having Time for Your Family. Don't you love that title? Secrets for Earning a Six-Figure Income While Having Time for Your Family. Work and balance, that's what it's all about, work-life balance. So Debbie shares her business and marketing expertise frequently in the media and has been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine. I'm going to have coffee, I can tell right now. Inc. Incorporated, Forbes.com, CNBC.com, Home Business Magazine, and the San Diego Business Journal. She was also chosen as one of 5 expert bloggers for the Yahoo Small Business Blog. So through all of her business ventures, Debbie has learned firsthand the power of clarity and focus. Remember that, clarity and focus, and what it takes to build and market a successful business. Her message to you is, stop following in the footsteps of others. The best you can ever achieve is second place. Follow your own path and come in first in everything, every time. So good morning, Debbie, and welcome to the show. I have so many questions for you.
Hi, Denise. It's so great to be here, and I can't wait to answer all of your questions.
Oh, I have a ton. Seriously, I do. So before I get started, can you do me a favor and tell the audience a little bit about yourself? I've covered some of it, but that's kind of the high points. Can you tell people how you got here, how you went from being a work-at-home mom to being just this, total maven?
Yeah, and I'll actually step before that and how I became a work-at-home mom, because I had a really successful career in marketing and advertising, and then when I had my daughter, and she just turned 21 in August, everything changed for me. I realized that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing and be the kind of mom that I wanted to be. But that was back, she was born in 1989, and times were very different then. And I can tell you that I spent about 9 years sort of struggling to balance my career, which was really, really important to me and necessary. I live in San Diego. We needed both my income and my husband's income to support our family, not in a lavish lifestyle, but just to live comfortably. But I also didn't want to give up my career. My work is really important to me, and it's a big part of my identity and what I love to do. So after about 9 years of, trying freelance work and part-time work and contract work and full-time work and having another baby in 1992, everything kind of fell apart in 1998, and I pretty much crashed and burned. And I found myself sick for about a year and realized that I was doing it myself, trying to, be super mom and do it all and have the career, and I was traveling, and, it just wasn't working. And so I often say I became an entrepreneur by default. I'm not one of those people who had this dream growing up that I'm going to have my own business. People were telling me for years, you should go out on your own. And I'm like, I don't want my own business. What are you talking about? And mm-hmm. I finally just woke up one day and realized that I didn't have any other choice, that if I wanted to be able to do work that I loved on my terms and be the kind of mom that I wanted to be and not be sick all the time from the stress, that I had to find a way to do it on my own. And so in 1998, that's what I did. And I really didn't know what I was doing. I knew I was good at marketing and marketing consulting, and so I started a business working from my home doing that, very similar to what I had done in my career. But I didn't know anything about running a business. So I spent quite a few years sort of stumbling and fumbling and trying to figure it out. And thankfully, I understood marketing because, as we all know in business, that's like the key. And because I understood that, I was able to make that business profitable the first year. And I spent about 6 years doing that business, part-time business, working from home, found myself making more money than I was making in my job, had time for my kids, and it was pretty sweet. And then something happened. I got bit by this bug. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the serial entrepreneur bug.
Yes, I have a chronic condition. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, and I got really, really sick over the next few years, and I started, you know, I thought every idea I got, I ran after. And at one point, I found myself running 5 different businesses at one time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. I don't recommend that. It was just, I was really fragmented. I had one business that was doing really well, and the rest of them were suffering because they weren't getting the attention that they needed. And so I went through a process of elimination and focus. That's why I talk about focus and clarity. And really, just at the end of last year, it all came to a head. I was in a pretty bad place in my business. I had just taken on too many things. I had taken on some things that I now, the way I classify it, were not a good fit for me and my life and my expertise and the way I wanted to spend my time. And in January of this year, I pretty much started over from scratch in one business and sold or closed, got rid of everything else. And I've spent this year rebuilding back faster than I ever built a business before. And doing what I really, really love to do and not working full-time. My kids are grown now, so they're not. My son's still here. He's a freshman in college, but, you know, he's got his own thing going, and my daughter lives 2,000 miles away. So my life is very different, but I still don't want to work like a maniac. I have lots of things I like to do. So that's kind of how I got where I am, and I really have come up through, you know, it sounds very cliche, but the school of hard knocks, and a lot of what I've learned has been the hard way. And a lot of what I share is to help people avoid making some of those same mistakes.
And that's exactly what I wanted to talk with you about. This morning I woke up very early, as I always do. I'm one of those people who catnaps, and I sleep in fits and starts. So that means I may burn out young, I don't know, but I'm very, very productive right now. So I get a lot done, and I was thinking about the interview that we were going to be having today right now. And, you know, I was reading about you, and I was reading a lot of your different work. So I wrote an article this morning and posted it on my blog about overwhelm. And honestly, you were the inspiration for that. So thank you. It's actually a pretty good article, I may say so myself. But one of the things, and one of the reasons you popped into my head at 3 o'clock this morning was you talk about cleaning out your business closet. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Because you do, you just, as entrepreneurs, tell me if you experience this. It's shiny object syndrome. You just go, oh, I can do that. Oh, I'm really good at this. Oh, that looks good. And off we go. And it gets nuts.
It gets totally nuts. And I'll tell you, you know, you think once you've been in business for a while and you're successful that you don't have to worry about that stuff. You're like, I know what I'm doing now. But it's almost like it becomes more dangerous because you know you can do just about anything.
Exactly.
And so you know, you get a great idea and you run after it, and the thing I've learned is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should be doing it right now. And that is what happened to me. I kept, you know, getting all these great ideas. Oh, I could do this, so I could help this audience. Mm-hmm. What about this? And because I had the knowledge and the tools to be able to go do it and do it quickly, I would just jump right in. And
right.
I have to realize that, well, do I really have the time and the energy and the money and the marketing to devote to this, to really give it what it deserves to be successful? Or is this really how I want to be spending my time? Yeah, it's a great idea, but what's it going to take to make this successful? And do I want to spend my time doing that? And so, you know, we do. We end up with all of this stuff, you know, and there's no shortage of advice and helpful information out there in the world, especially with the internet. So anything you want to do, you can pretty much find out how, you know, but then you've got these shelves overflowing with you know, personal development and information products that you never have time to go through, or you have all these businesses that you don't have time to focus on, and it really becomes kind of this, it's almost like you're just sort of treading water and trying to keep your head above water and stay afloat instead of really focusing on something that you're very passionate about that will allow you to spend your time the way you want to spend it, really get out there and make a difference in the world doing one main thing. Or maybe two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what I wanted to ask you, too, and I so agree with you because I've been struggling with the same thing. And one thing I wanted to ask you was, what is your sense on joint venture partnerships when you are in, you know, this kind of sense of overwhelm? Because what happens is that the more successful you become and the more you share your business and the more you share your ideas and your tips and knowledge and, you know, the more you're out there, the more people want to partner with you. When is it a good time to say no?
That's a great question, Denise. And, you know, for me, as somebody who I love working with other people, and I have a lot of friends out there after all the years of being in business, and it's really hard to say no to somebody that you really like, you really believe in what they're doing, and you want to be able to help them. But I find myself saying no a lot more these days than I used to in the past. And I say no, I mean, I said no to somebody yesterday. Well, I didn't say no. I said, if you want to do something, February is the earliest I could talk to you. And that was really difficult because it's somebody that I love dearly, and she's got great stuff. But I just look at my calendar, and I look at it, and I know what I have already going on. I know how much time I want to spend working. And I know what my list can handle and what's going to be just, like, you know, confusing or too much. And I just look at it and I say, you know, right now, as much as I'd love to help you, this doesn't serve me and my business goals. And really, you know, going back to that cleaning out your business closet, it really is about getting clear about what's most important to you and your business and making decisions from that place. We could all be doing, you know, lots of things every day in our business and being, you know, doing all kinds of joint ventures and promotions. And, I mean, I'm sure you experience the same thing. You could be busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week your business if you chose to be. So you have to draw the line somewhere. And to me, it's my business, it's my life, and I need to do what's going to serve me and my clients best. And sometimes that means saying no to opportunities. And I say no a lot. I really do. And at first it was difficult because I'm like, oh, what if I'm missing out? What if this is the thing that's going to, you know, put 1,000 more people on my list or, you know, make extra money or just anything? And I really had to let that go and say, you know, I got to trust my gut. It feels like I don't have time for this. It feels like this would be too much for my list right now. It feels like it's not directly focused on what my priorities are right now.
Right. Well, while we're on the topic of lists, because that is so important, and I know there are several schools of thought. Some people think you need a list of, you know, 10,000 people. I have seen some of my clients have lists that are small, they're intimate, and they are highly convertible. I mean, these things, they are, you know, seriously responsive people. They are in that list because they want to be. They're not overwhelmed with a lot of different shiny objects. And, you know, sometimes a smaller list may be the best way to go. That's a decision you have to make. But what is your best advice about a list? How do you handle your list? Because these are they're your network. They're people that want to do business with you. How do you keep it intimate enough and friendly enough without just absolutely overwhelming and sometimes insulting the people on your list? You know, I don't know about you. I don't want to be sold to. You know, my little spidey sense goes up and I'm gone.
We love to buy, but we don't like to be sold to.
No.
Right, exactly, isn't it? I mean, especially as women, we love to go shopping, we love to buy things, but we want to be the one making the decision. And if someone presents
an
opportunity, that's one thing. But this sell, sell, sell mentality, And I really think, I mean, I've been in business online for 6 years, and it's changed a lot. I mean, we used to be able to do things that I don't think we can do anymore. People are so overwhelmed with so much information, you know, so many e-zines, so many blogs, all the social media. I mean, it's ridiculous how much pushed into us every single day. And, you know, I'm of the school that you don't need a huge list to have a very profitable business. A small, intimate business where you're really serving people and you don't need massive amounts of people on the list. I would much rather have a smaller list of people that really care about what I do and are really interested and are responsive because, you know, and I remember I met a guy in January at an event. And he, one of those people that approached me and wanted to do a joint venture partnership, and he talked about list building. And that's what he did. And he said, oh, we should talk because I can, you know, we can add tens of thousands of people to your list really quickly. And it was basically one of those things where you have to partner with all the people in his network and you all send out your stuff to everybody else. And I just, it made my skin crawl. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Those people won't. They're not going to care about what I have. They're not going to be quality people on my list. I'm not going to do it just to say I have this huge list but have it not be a profitable list. Like, I don't get it. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, it becomes a numbers game. And honestly, here has been my experience, and I'd like to know if you've seen this too. I will get on somebody's list, deliberately or maybe not, but I do watch these things. And after a while, if I'm seeing kind of the same names pop up, but I don't have any kind of relationship with them. I don't know them on Facebook. I don't know them on LinkedIn. I'm really not familiar with what it is that they do, but I keep getting hammered from these people. They lose all credibility with me. And they may have a great product or they may have a great business, but because I am just a number in their little game, I get resentful momentarily, but I'm resentful and I'm gone. Does that happen to you? Have you had that experience?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I have some pretty strong opinions about Facebook for this reason, because I get so many, I call it spam, just because I'm your friend on Facebook, and it's really funny, because I have right in my little profile, you know, on my personal profile, I have information about me, and one of the first things it says there is that I'm married to an amazing man. I've been married for a long, long time to a wonderful husband, and yet there is one friend on my friends list that consistently sends me email about relationships and dating. And I just like, hello? Like, and I haven't unfriended this person but there's a part of me that probably will if it keeps happening, because it's like, you know, that's spam. It's like, go through and target your emails. And if you didn't know I was married, I can understand. But it's right out there for you to see. And it's like, that's not marketing. That sending out your information to everybody and anybody, regardless of whether it's appropriate for them, is called spamming. It's not called marketing. And it bugs the heck out of me, too, because it's like, I'm never going to buy. I might want to be your friend. We might have something in common, but don't spam me about your programs that aren't appropriate for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you. You know, Facebook, well, I have some very strong opinions. I'm like you, but maybe I won't air them here at the end of the conversation. I think I'll be nice today.
That's another call.
It is. It's a totally different call. But, you know, that's about relationship marketing. And again, that is another call, I think, and I'd love to get you back. But let's go back to cleaning out your business closet. Can you give our audience some steps about cleaning? Are there any processes, thought processes, or, you know, physical processes that they should consider? You know, I know that you shouldn't have 12 businesses going at one time. You know, you maybe should, you know, not try to vacuum while you're building a website. You know, things like that.
And actually,
which I've done, by the way, that's a true story. It's like,
oh, is it really?
Take a break and go. Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
That old multitasking thing. Yes. In my style business system, I actually take people through a series of assessments, and I really think that's one of the first steps, whether you're in business already or you're just starting out, is to really do what I call create your filter, so that you have something you can run things through to decide if it's something you should keep or you should not keep. you know, when we a lot of people have in their clothes closet. I've never really had a weight problem, but my husband has, and I have a lot of friends who have. And you know, and you have that side of your closet that's your fat clothes, and then yep. you have the clothes you can wear now, or people that never throw anything away have clothes from the 80s in their closet that they're never going to wear. And so when you walk in there, you have a filter. You can say, those clothes don't fit me. I'm going to choose to get rid of them. Those are out of style. I never wear them anymore. I can choose to get rid of them. But when it comes to our business, we often don't approach it the same way, and we don't have any criteria to help us decide what to keep and what to get rid of. So I always suggest to people to do three assessments. The first one is a business assessment, and just really sit down and look at where your business is and where you'd like it to be in terms of, you know, how much money you're making, how many clients you have, how big your list is, how you're spending your time, how many hours a week you're working, and really take some measurable criteria and write down what the situation is right now for you. And then if you've been in business for a while, reach back into your memory and think about that vision that you had when you started your business, when you were all excited and you thought, I'm going to have this business, I'm going to work 3 days a week, I'm going to lay on the beach every Friday, and that place where you had this ideal. And compare where you are right now to what it was that you really wanted to create. That's the first step, to find out how far away you are from it. Because I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the day-to-day of doing, we lose sight and we realize, oh, my God, like I'm working like a maniac and I'm not getting the results that I said I wanted. This is like worse than the job that I had. So that's kind of the first step, and really get clear on that. Because then you can start taking a look at what you're doing and how it's serving you towards that vision. And if it's not, if you're doing stuff, spending time doing things that really aren't contributing to the types of clients you want to work with, the way you want to spend your time, the amount of money that you want to make, and the amount of time you actually want to be in your business, you need to change some things and you need to get rid of things. A lot of times we find ourselves doing things that aren't contributing anything to our business. They're just making us busy. And those are the first things that you can just get rid of if they're not really contributing to the bottom line. The other thing, the second assessment, is to do a marketing assessment and really sit down and list all the ways that you're marketing your business and rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 on two factors. The first one is, how well is it working? And when I say how well is it working, how well is it doing one of two things? Number one, bringing you prospects. Number two, bringing you paying clients. If it's not doing a good job at either one of those things, you either need to stop doing it or you need to change the way you're doing it because you're wasting your time. And so rate every marketing activity that you're using right now on those two criteria, and then also rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 on how much you enjoy doing it. Because there's a lot of people that are doing marketing that they hate. And for crying out loud, in your own business, why would you do anything that you hate to do? Like, what is the purpose of that? There are so many ways to market. Pick, you need 3 or 4. You know, in all the years I've been in business, I've consistently used 3 or 4 ways to market my business. There are hundreds of ways to market. There's got to be 3 or 4 ways that you would enjoy, that will put you in front of your ideal clients, and that will produce results for you that you can focus your time and energy on. And you got to get rid of everything else. It really is just keeping you busy. And then the third assessment is what we call it a you assessment. And just take a look at how you're spending your time, what you're doing, the way you're working with your clients, and really make sure that you're really enjoying it. I am of the belief that you should only be doing things in your business that you really enjoy doing. And if it's something that you hate doing or you don't like, you either need to delegate it or delete it. And it's absolutely possible to create a business where you don't have to spend your time doing that stuff.
Right. Well, as a virtual assistant, I can tell you, I mean, we take a lot of the, and I'm not going to call them mundane tasks, we're highly technical. You know, we work in web development. We take everything from product development to web development, but not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody can do that. So delegate, you're right. Delegate, outsource, do whatever it is. Look, I'm a virtual assistant. I have assistants because there's some things that in my business that I can't stand to do. For instance, I hate Photoshop. Can I work in it? Yes. Do I enjoy it? Not a minute. I don't know why. I just don't. So I have team members take care of any image manipulation that I have to do. They do a better job, they enjoy it, and I'm good to go.
And they're probably, they do it a lot faster than you probably would do it too, so it makes sense to have someone else.
Yeah, because I'm dragging my feet, kicking and crying the whole way. I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
So, now, Debbie, what is a tailor-made business? I've heard you mention that. What is a tailor-made business, and can anyone create one? Does this kind of go back to cleaning out the business closet and determining what it is that you want to do? Is there a tie in there?
It is, actually, yes, because and so after you do those assessments, the next step is to take what you learn in those assessments and start using that to redesign your business so that it fits you and what you want to spend your time doing, and so that you can actually achieve your goals, whether they're lifestyle goals, financial goals, type of clients you want to work with goals. And, you know, there's so many ways. Most of the people that I work with are service-based business professionals. So they're offering a service, they're selling their time in one form or another, or they're selling their expertise. And there's so many ways that you can build a business doing that. You can be, you know, you can coach, you can train, you can speak, you can be a consultant. There's just, you know, you can have information products. There's lots of different ways to share that expertise and serve people. The key is looking at how your assessments and determining, okay, how do I want to spend my time? So, for example, last year, I spent the entire year building a membership-based business. It was an association.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, and it wasn't successful for me for a lot of reasons. It wasn't fulfilling. It financially
yeah.
it didn't make it. There was a lot of things. And I spent a lot of time and energy and money building that business, doing it right. And at the end of the year,
Didn't you sell it?
I did sell it.
You sold it. Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember being on that mailing list and going, aw. So,
I sold it
I
in
remember
February
that.
Of this year because in December, I realized that that business didn't fit me. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I realized that I was spending my time. I absolutely love rolling up my sleeves and working with people and helping them build their business, helping them work on their marketing and their branding. And I found that I wasn't getting to do any of that in that business. I was heading a big organization, coordinating all these moving parts, you know, bringing in experts and all these other people to work with my clients, but I wasn't getting to work with them. And it was frustrating for me because I wasn't getting to spend my time the way I love to spend my time. And there was a lot of other things, too, that I realized didn't fit me about that business after going through some of these assessments. And so I said, you know, wow, I've put a whole year into this. Could I make it successful? I probably could if I would have kept going. But is this how I want to spend the next 3 to 5 years of my life, spending my time like this in a business like this, working like this to get these results? And my answer was...
I'm listening to your tone, the way you're saying that. That just tells everything. It tells the story.
I wasn't happy. It just didn't fit.
I can tell.
Ah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was the hardest thing I ever did, making the decision to sell that business, because to me, it felt like quitting. Because I wasn't... I was just kidding.
Right.
And I don't quit. You know, I mean, put me on something, I'm going to take it and make it successful. But I really came to terms with the fact that, no, I'm not quitting. I'm realizing that this isn't right for me. And I found somebody it was perfect for, and I sold it to her. And she loves it, and she's running with it. She had a similar business, and we merged the two together. And I went back to what I love to do. And I, based on the same assessment process that I was describing, I sat down and redesigned my own business. Based on what I knew I would love doing and would work for me and would allow me to generate the money that I wanted to generate in the hours that I wanted to put in. And I went back to work on that in January and immediately got back on track with my business. And this year has been phenomenal. And I really owe it all to this idea of stepping back, cleaning out. I mean, I did a whole overhaul of my business closet and redesigning a tailor-made business for me. And so that is what I work with my clients to do, because I've seen the power. I've seen the frustration in being in a business that doesn't fit you. And it's like, no matter what you do, you can do everything right, it's not going to work. It's not the right business.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even begin to tell you how much I agree with that.
Yeah.
if you're not in love with it, if you're not passionate about it, if it doesn't excite you from the minute your eyes open and your feet hit that floor, you need to be doing something different.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, one thing that I wanted to ask you too, how do people identify what business model, you know, that they should be working in? I mean, what I see, and I know you see a lot of this because, again, I've heard you talk about this here, there, and yonder, but modeling, people will go, Seth Godin over here, he's doing a really great job. I'm going to do what Seth Godin's doing. Or they'll run over here. I've had people steal my material left, right, and center. In fact, I wrote a note to somebody yesterday. You know, they actually had the nerve to send me my own article. I'm on their list.
No.
And I went to their... And I thought it was, once I got over going, oh my gosh, I started laughing and I went to the blog post and I said, this is a great article. In fact, I thought as much when I wrote it last year and I gave them the date and the URL. Please, you know, either, you know, give me credit or remove it. You did not write this. But people do that. It happens and it doesn't work. And I would love for you to tell people why they need to speak in their own unique voice and build their own unique model, their own business.
Yeah,
so you have some background about that, don't you?
Yes. I am not a proponent of modeling. I have just seen too many people, myself included, follow that practice and not be satisfied with the results. I mean, I think if everybody listening, if you just kind of ask yourself, okay, the concept of modeling, and, you know, Tony Robbins, I think, started this, and I love him. He's amazing. He does amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that this works exactly the way it's put out there. And, you know, he says if you follow the exact same steps as somebody who's done what you want to do, you'll get the exact same results. So I'd ask everybody listening to just think back in your life and in your business, have there been times where you've identified somebody that's where you want to be and you've done exactly the same things that they've done? And let me just ask you, did you get exactly the same results that they got? Usually when I ask people that question when I speak live, the audience, like, bursts out laughing. It's like, everybody's like, no.
No.
I didn't get the same exact results. I might have gotten some results. I might have, you know, done okay. But we don't get the exact same results. And the reason why is we're not that person. You know, we are a different person with a different skill set, with a different personality. There's just so many things that are different. And when you... You know, often I talk about if you think about in science when they do experiments, they have a control group where they run the experiment, and let's say there's five variables, and they, you know, they run it and they get a result. And then when they want to test for differences, they'll take one of those five variables and they'll change it. And then they'll run the experiment again, and what happens? Well, almost always they get a different outcome. And that's because when you change one of the variables, you get a different result. So if you take the concept of modeling, are we changing at least one variable? We are. We're not that person. There's also a lot of other things. If you look at the person that you're modeling, you could probably list a million ways that you're different, or your situation or your clientele or your marketplace are different. And so I just think that it's not a fair expectation to think that you can just do exactly what they're doing and get the same results. What I propose instead of modeling is, yes, you know, there's things we all have to learn. If we don't know how to market and brand ourselves, we need to learn how to do that. If we want to use social media and we don't know how to use it, we need to learn how to do it. So, yes, there are people or courses or seminars or books, things that you're going to need to turn to as a business owner to educate yourself so that you can do the things that you don't know how to do. But instead of modeling exactly what someone else has done, if you take what you learn and if you've created that filter for yourself and you run everything you learn through that filter and you keep what feels good to you and what fits you and your personality and you let go of the rest, and it's not saying the rest is bad or doesn't work, it's just saying this doesn't fit me, it's not right for me, and go with what's going to work for you and adapt it so that it fits you, you're going to have completely different results. And, you know, it's funny, I often tell a story of early in my business online. I was following someone who was very, very successful. And I decided to model. I got an email from this person And I was pretty new to email marketing. I said, oh, that's the kind of emails you send out when you want people to buy. Okay. So I took that email. I didn't plagiarize it, but I modeled the idea, sent a very similar email out to my list, who I had been communicating with for about a year at that time. So they had gotten to know me and my personality. And I sent out this email. And I got so much hate mail back. I got so many people unsubscribing from my list. I was just like, what's going on? Like, isn't this the kind of email you're supposed to send out when you want people to buy? And it was like, these people, like, you know, if daggers could come through my computer, they would have been. I was just, it was the most horrifying experience. And when I look back at it a little while later, I realized the tone of that email was not my personality. It was this other person's personality. That's the kind of email that person's list was used to getting. It didn't appall me when I got it from this person. But that's what I was used to getting from this person. And so my list wasn't used to hearing from me in that tone of voice. That wasn't my personality. That wasn't the way I communicated with them. So all of a sudden they get this email, and it's like out of left field. It's like, who is this person that's writing to me like this? Right. I didn't get on this person's list. And they, I mean, literally, like, hate mail. Who would thought a little email generate so much hatred? And I thought, this doesn't feel very good. And that was a huge And I thought, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to, you know, really run
it. Again, you know, there's spidey sense. You know, people know when they're being sold to. They know when they're being played.
Yeah, and they know when it's not you speaking. They,
exactly.
You know, it's so important. And this is really the core of what I help people do now, is to find the place that you stand and what you stand for and your personality. You know, we all have a way that we can package and put ourselves out there that is totally unique to us. And so you've got to find that place and step into that 110% and just be that person consistently in everything that you do, in your marketing, in your products and services, in everything, on Facebook. And when you do that, people, especially online, because they don't, most of them get to meet you in person, they get they feel like they get to know you, and they feel like they can trust you, and they know what to expect from you, and it completely changes the game. And the thing is, if you're being who you are authentically, it's not hard to get up and be that person every day in your business. It's just who you are. And you build a tribe of people that appreciate that and want you for what you have to offer. And you can't do that if you're trying to be like someone else, because you'll never be that person.
No. And really, why would you want to be? I mean, it's one thing to take a look at somebody's business model and say, you know, there's some great things in here that I could probably do, but do it in my own way. But if you're trying to channel somebody else, so to speak, you're in trouble from the get-go. Because you can't maintain. You cannot maintain presenting a different personality. You'll become schizophrenic. You just can't do it.
Yeah, and people will see through it, too. It just it won't feel authentic. So, yeah, I mean, we're not talking about reinventing the wheel here. There is lots of successful business models out there that you can take and adapt for you and put your personality into. But, yeah, this idea of I want to be the next fill-in-the-blank, you'd be doing yourself a disservice and the world a disservice. Why not be the best you can be? Because you have a gift and a talent and people out there that are waiting to follow and learn from you. Why do you want to say, I want to be the next so-and-so? They've got their tribe.
Exactly.
Go get your own tribe.
And you're so right. I mean, being in the virtual assistants industry, it's a right now it's a huge exploding growth industry. And a lot of people are coming into it who probably are not ready for it, no question about it. It does require training. It does require some knowledge about what you're doing. But so many of them will come to me and say, I just, you know, I watch you and I watch this person and I watch, you know, this one over here, and I can't possibly do what you're doing. So, you know, what do I do? And there's no new ideas. And, oh, gosh, you know, you already know everything, so how can I learn everything? It's like, you know, you have got your own voice. You will have your own clients. You will be the best partner with your clients that you can possibly be. And, you know, because as a virtual assistant, you literally become a strategic partner. You don't want to model somebody else ever. You want to be the best you can be within your client framework. And, you know, I try to share that all the time, and people sometimes don't get it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, I that's the whole platform for my business, and I agree with you so much. And I think that a lot of times people, there's a fear. They don't know what to do, and so they look to modeling other people and saying, well, I just want to
right.
do it. Because they don't know on their own, or they don't have the confidence, or they don't trust themselves. And that's why it's so important to just sit down and get really clear about what's most important to you, and then start building the business around you. You know, it's really interesting. I work with, most of my clients are women. I do work with some men, but I tend to attract more women. And most of these women that I talk to and work with have had very successful careers in the business world. And they're very, very, very smart. And there's
mm-hmm.
something really strange that happens when we go into business on our own. And the same thing happened to me. It's like we open our own business, and like we check our brain at the door. You know, it's like all of a sudden we don't know anything. It's like because we're stepping.
I call that open refrigerator door syndrome. You know how you go to the refrigerator, you open the door, your jaw drops, your eyes glaze over, you have no idea why you're standing there.
Yes.
That's. I think that's what happens. It's open refrigerator door syndrome. You just
it
go
is.
Blank.
And all of a sudden we step into this world and we feel like a fish out of water and we have no idea
yeah.
what to do. Yeah. And we really start blindly following other people, and that's where the modeling comes in and the I want to
mm-hmm.
be just like you. And, you know, the best advice I can give to anybody in that situation is to stop, shake yourself. You're smart. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've accomplished a lot mm-hmm. in your life, and it's because you're smart and you're resourceful. Bring that brain and those smarts and that resourcefulness and that confidence into your
right.
own business. Recognize there's
and that personality.
The personality
is so incredible. I mean, you have to bring your true, authentic personality to bear.
Yeah. There's things you need to learn. As I shared when we first started talking, when I started my first business, I didn't know the first thing about running a business. I made lots of mistakes. I talk about all of them in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I learned. And so the thing is, that's because you don't know everything about this new world or this particular business or whatever you're in. It doesn't take away all that you do know and all the smarts that you do have. And, you know, really remember that and trust yourself and have the confidence, because that's such an important part of being successful in anything that you do, is having confidence. So maybe to start with, the only confidence you have is, I know I really help people. Like, I don't know how
mm-hmm.
to market, I don't know how to brand myself, I don't know how to sell, but I know I really help people when I work with them. So have that confidence
right.
in you every day. That's going to carry you while you're learning how to market and brand yourself and sell.
And I want to ask you about marketing in just a bit, but something you said, you know, struck a chord with me. One thing that I find when I'm talking with people is they say, well, you know, I've got all these hard skills. I'm great with Excel, or I can build a website, but they don't seem to take into consideration their soft skills. And I think that goes back to what you just said, we lose our brains when we start working. We don't understand that those soft skills sometimes are almost more important than those hard skills.
And so when you're saying
soft, do you find that?
Give me an example of when you say soft skills, what you're referring to, so I make sure.
More like what you just said, you know, I may not know much about marketing, but I know I can help people. That's a soft skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, you know, coaching people, or, you know, assisting people with, you know, clarity of, you know, they may have some great ideas, but there's no real clarity. And you can kind of step back, look at their business model and say, well, you know, here's some gaps here, or this is a really great idea, or this one just is not logical or linear. You may want to move that down the sheet. Those are soft skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And it sounds to me like you're brilliant at soft skills. So how do you tell people what strategies are a good fit for them, whether it's a hard skill or a soft skill or a combination of both of them, which, you know, a business should be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it really is a process of, again, of going through this assessment process and then evaluating all the different ways that they could take, you know, their hard skills, their soft skills, how they want to spend their time, and what's the best business model and way to package that into a business that's going to deliver them the outcome that they want. So it's this process of custom designing the business. And so it's just looking at all of those factors. And people, you can sit down and do that. I mean, you just look at what am I good at, what am I not good at, what do I like spending my time doing, what don't I like spending my time doing, you know, and really make sure that the business that you're creating for yourself capitalizes on your strengths, and then identify the weaknesses. And again, there may be some things that you need to go out and learn. I mean, I don't know about mm-hmm. you, but I invest a lot in my own education on an ongoing basis so that I can continue mm-hmm. to be successful in my business and to grow as a person. You know, and there's always Absolutely. Something to learn. And so, you know, it's being strategic in deciding, where am I right now? What is it that's going to help me get to where I want to be? And identify strategically what you want to go out and learn. Because I think the other thing that happens for a lot of people and why they get in this stage of overwhelm is we're sort of like grabbing at straws, you know, again, because there's so much marketing out there and so many teleclasses and so much information that, you know, you hear something and someone says, you got to be on Facebook to market, or you got to blog to market, or you have to, you know, this is the latest and greatest thing. And people are, oh, I got to learn that. I got to learn that. And they're chasing after all of these tactics, thinking, okay, this is going to be, you know, my brass ring. When I learn this, I'm going to be successful. Instead of...
I can cash that check, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of really identifying strategically for themselves, okay, this is what I need to move me forward this year in my business. I'm going to go out and find that and learn how to do that and then put that to work in my business and being very focused. Mm-hmm. But if you don't sit down and really take a look at you and your business and what you're trying to achieve and the skills you have and the weaknesses you have, there's no way to make that strategic decision.
Right. Debbie, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, one of the best places to go is if they go to assessmybusiness.com, A-S-S-E-S-S, mybusiness.com. What they'll find there is they can actually sign up. I have a free online assessment tool. So as soon as they sign up, they're actually going to go to a web page where they're going to be able to answer some questions to help them assess their business, and it'll immediately give them what I call their personalized business success score. And it's a number score, and then it'll tell you what that score means in terms of kind of where you are in your business and what you might want to be looking at to get where you want to be. There's also a free report there that's Discover Your Unique Business Style that's going to help people start to understand why it's so important to step into being who you are in your business and understand how you can do that instead of modeling other people or trying to be like someone else. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would actually suggest everybody go. You know, I also have a website at debbielachusa.com. I have a lot of blog posts and things, but that free assessment will also actually qualify them, if they're interested, to get on the phone with me live, no obligation, free call, to go over that assessment and really help them start to understand what they need to do in their business to tailor make it to them so that it really suits them.
Right. Debbie, you said earlier, way early when we started the call, that you had basically just shifted away from a lot of the things that you were doing and scaled it back to one particular business. And I don't think we actually have talked about what it is that your business is today. What does that look like now?
Yes, my business today is as the business stylist, and basically what I do is I work with people, mostly in small groups and personally, to help them go through this process we've been talking about today and really assess where they are in their business and identify their filter so that they can, you know, we can help them clean mm-hmm. up the closet, get rid of all the stuff that's not serving them, that's taking time and isn't really delivering them the outcomes that they want. Help them pick the business model that's going to suit them best, and then help them really step into who they are and create what I call their personal brand and their authentic marketing message, and get out there and put that into the world. And that's the process that I take people through, because it's the process that I went through. And because I've been in, it's funny, I think I've been in all those businesses, in just about every business model that's out there.
Yeah.
And as a marketer, I've tried and studied, I think, every marketing tactic that's out there as well.
Right.
So, you know, I have some tools that I use with people to help them evaluate all the different possibilities. I think in our, you know, business models, we have like 16 different business models that we look at with people, and we help them really evaluate based on who they are and what, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and their current business situation. We help them pick the one that's going to work best for them. And the same thing with the marketing strategies. We look at, I think, about I think about 24 of the top marketing strategies out there and help people do the same. Really pick the ones that are going to fit them best and put that to their business. So, you know, so we don't have to be running in a million directions. We can have, you know, one main business, one or two main products or services that we're offering, and have a really efficient business that really reflects who we are and really serves the people that we're here to serve.
Right. Can you give me some examples? You said, I think, 24 marketing strategies. Can you give us just a couple of marketing strategies that you talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just open up my, we call it our marketing activity selector tool. And I'll just open
Ooh,
it up.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool, actually, because it's got all the different activities, and then it's got a call that says it's good for you if, and it has criteria for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is your situation, then, oh, this is something I might want to use. It also has a call
right.
that says not ideal for you if, and if those fit you, you probably want to move on to something else. So just looking at it, I mean, some of them are article marketing, which I think you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I
do a lot of. I love to write, so it's a perfect fit for me, but not everybody wants to.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's some of the kind of stuff that's listed on here. If you love to write, if you have expertise to share, then article marketing is going to be a good avenue for you. If you hate to write, or you're not a good writer, or you don't have expertise to share, then just because article marketing is a good marketing strategy and works well for some people, you know what? It's probably not one that you're going to want to step into. So that's
mm-hmm.
the kind of thing that we look at. You know, blogging is using direct mail is another marketing strategy. Email marketing, sending out email blasts.
Mm-hmm.
Doing live events where you actually have people at a live event and you use that to share information and market to people. Networking is another big one. And social media, those are two
right.
really big ones because those are two things that everybody believes they have to do. And some people hate to network. If you hate to network,
yeah.
and you hate meeting people, and you go, and you're really shy, and you don't follow up with anybody at home because you don't like to do it, why are you doing it? Don't do it. Pick
exactly.
something else, you know?
You wasted gas.
You wasted the money, you wasted your time, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, what's the point? Like, you know, maybe you like talking on the telephone, so do free teleseminars, you know? Find something
right.
you really love to do. And find, you know, find three or four of those things and really do them consistently on a regular
mm-hmm.
basis. That's the other thing. People.
That's so important. You have to be consistent. You can't just
yeah.
pop up and say, oh, I had a great idea. Pay attention to me.
Yeah, and people do that. They'll do something. They'll try, you know, most people will tell me, well, I tried article marketing and it didn't work for me. And I'll say, okay, how many articles do you have out there? Two. Well, yeah, you probably need like 25 to 50 or 100, especially these
right.
so crowded out
and
there.
Not just right, and not just on ezine.com. You need to go to Self Growth and Biznik and Articles Base and Evan Carmichael, and you have to have a strategy for that. You can't just put one out there and go, well, here I am.
Yeah, well, it didn't work. So yeah, it's this
no.
idea of doing things consistently. And that's why you want to pick three or four and just really do those things over and over again. And then, you know, we talked about the marketing assessment, you know, earlier. Do that on a regular basis and really take a look. Is this bringing me prospects?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it bringing me paying clients? And if you're spending a lot of time doing something and it's not bringing you either, then you either need to stop doing it or you need to look at how you're doing it. Something
right.
needs to shift because it's not working.
Right. Well, are there other strategies that, you know, some people are just very shy. To give you an example, I have a client that she's a yoga instructor, and she said, I want to be online, but I just don't know how. Well, I was listening to her one day. She has a great voice, a very soothing voice, and we were chatting about how much we really like each other's voices. You know, you get in the weirdest conversations. But, you know, we both have soft, kind of quiet voices, and she said, well, you know, I was doing a meditation with somebody the other day, and instantly a new business was born for her. And she's doing these online meditations, and they're fabulous. But you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and what I love about that story is that she found something that was perfect for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, it's like, when it's perfect for you, I'm sure when she does that, the energetic space that she's in is so attractive and so magnetic. She loves
mm-hmm.
it. And that's the other thing people don't think about is when they're doing marketing that they hate doing or they're really uncomfortable, energetically they are not in an attractive place. So
right.
It's like if you sit down and you write an article and you hate to, I've had clients tell me, oh, I have to write this e-zine, I hate writing e-zines. I'm like, okay, if you sit down and write your e-zine and that energy every week and send it out, you are going to push people away from your business. You're not going to attract.
You absolutely are.
And people
but you
don't
can outsource that.
Yeah, they don't realize that. But, you know, we've all been on the receiving end of an email that really took us, you know,
yeah.
We really took the wrong way. So recognize that the energy behind the message coming out, sometimes it's not even the words, but just the energy, it comes through with the activity. And that's the other reason it's really important to find stuff that you enjoy and that fits you.
Right, right. Well, just to give you a for instance, I was chatting with her the other day, and she said, I took your advice. I started doing these things. We put them online. And she said, I listened to a couple of them. I was getting such great responses, and I went back and I listened, and she instantly started critiquing her meditation. She said, well, I could have slowed it down. And she said, but fortunately, and I was so glad she caught it before I had to say, hey, hang on. She said, but when I was doing it, I was so happy, and the flow was perfect. And yeah, I might have been a little bit fast, but I was giving it my all, and it was coming from my heart. She got that, so she did not go back and try to make it professional maybe do it in a – she left it completely alone. And the response she's getting from these meditations, because they do come from the heart, and she is sharing from her soul, quite literally, the response is just incredible. They're not perfect, according to her. Now, I've listened to them. I think they're fabulous, but I listen differently than she does. I mean, she hears the mistakes and the little glitches and – you know, the hesitations or the fast pace. You can't really go back and critique yourself when you're really sharing from your heart, I don't think. What do you think about that?
No, you absolutely shouldn't, because here's the thing. People want real. You know, we've gone through a few years here of political scandals, of corporate scandals.
Yeah.
There's been,
They're not over yet.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of even in the internet marketing world, a lot of I think mismanaged expectations, and so I think people are just in a place where they want real, they want someone they can trust, and that isn't slick and perfect. It's human, and it's just speaking from your heart and being who you are, flaws and all, and people will be attracted to that. That's what they want, because it feels real. It doesn't feel slick. It doesn't feel like you're trying to sell them something. It just feels like you're serving. That is so, so important.
And that's such an important word, serving. I mean, you've said that several times, and I can't tell you how much I agree with you.
It's about service. It's not about selling. It really is about serving.
Right.
In everything that you do, and if you can approach your business from a service perspective and know that I'm here to serve people and help them instead of approaching it, you know, with how can I sell this and how can I make money from this, I mean, that just ain't going to work. Sorry. You know, people will...
No, it won't.
It doesn't.
I'm going to sell
like 40
of these widgets. No, and it doesn't work, and I've had that same talk with people. You can't approach it from that. You need to work from your heart. It sounds like it's reversed from corporate world, and it is. But yeah, we are in a relationship age now, so we have to treat our businesses like they're relationships, I think.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's all about relationships, all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Debbie, where is your book available?
My book, The Career at Home Mom, is available at careerathomemom.com. So
go
there. It's actually available for free. I just charge shipping and handling. So if anybody would like to pick that up, if you go to careerathomemom.com, you can get that for, I think it's $4.95 US. So just to cover our
cost, nice.
Out to you.
Now, how do you get an autographed copy if you want one?
put a little note when you order your book
my
in the
offers.
Comments. Yeah. Write in the comments
that
you'd like it autographed and just the name you'd like it to, and we'll make sure and do that.
Very nice. Well, I guess we're up about this. Well, Debbie, thank you so much for being with me here today. You have given some terrific, terrific information to our audience, and I appreciate it as much as they will. There's going to be a lot of downloads on this, and people will learn a great bit from it. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I've really enjoyed being here, and I just want to thank you for inviting me to be on with you today.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was, I mean, I had a terrific time, and thank you. I mean, I always have a great time, but this was just a lot of fun. So everybody who is here, thank you so much for being here, and the show will be available for download in about an hour. And those of you who will be downloading later, we had a great time with you and hope you enjoyed it as well. I will not be broadcasting next Friday as it is the day after Thanksgiving, and many of us will be traveling or shopping or both. But Debbie and I would like to, both of us, wish you a very happy and a very safe Thanksgiving, and I will see you next month. So Debbie, thank you and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.